Buccaneers fans, you are here for one reason, and that man is the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the King of Pasco County, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton himself, Ira Kaufman. Sage, I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Your buddy, Lee DeCamper, your other buddy of JoeBucksFan.com is here. The podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford, where Sean Sullivan lives there 24-7, and he is ready to help Buccaneers fans as a friend, as your buddy in the car business. Anytime you need him, any question you might have, BillCurryFord.com. That's where you start shopping, BillCurryFord.com. Remember their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles, and remember the Ira Kaufman discount. Sean loves to dole that out. Oh, you know Ira? Here's some money. That's how he likes to do it. Sage, how are you?
I'm feeling really upbeat, and I don't want you two guys bringing me down in the next 45 minutes. I'm feeling very upbeat. I had my second Moderna shot. I had to go to St. Leo College. A little bit of a drive, not too bad. A little apprehensive. Didn't know, you know, you hear certain things about side effects from the second shot. But mine were minimal. You know, left arm's a little sore. Steve can't do it in the right arm. That's my tennis arm, is, but, you know, I was a little bit tired last night. No big deal. Great time to be a Buck fan. Great time to be working for Joe Buck's fan. There's all kinds of intrigue going on at one Buck. Lights on the brink of a triple play here, Lee. I don't know if he can pull it off, but it would be one sweet triple play if he can. And, Lee, you know, I'm not going to say that if Shaq Barrett tests the market and leaves, you know, for a four-year $90 million deal, I'm not going to scream at the Bucks. If he prices himself out of Tampa, I'm going to give the Bucks a little bit of an out. And I'm not going to say that destroys any chance they have of repeating. I think it would be a tough blow. Believe me, a tough blow. But I'm not sure that's a kill shot. Bill could pick up a guy who's not as good as Barrett, but might be able to get the job done, certainly at a cheaper salary. But Lee, all things being equal, I want Shaq Barrett back in Pewter.
Let me get this straight, Ira. You begin your monologue by saying, "Damn it, don't you people get me in a bad mood." And within 30 seconds, you proceeded to get me to the point where I just want to rifle my freaking phone through my damn TV.
That's what I do, DeCamper. That's what I do. I'm good at it. What if Shaq Barrett
wants going like this?
Lee, what if he wants to be the highest paid edge rusher in the National Football League?
Well, the Bucs probably don't win the Super Bowl next year.
That's tough for you to say, Lee. That's tough.
You know what I think of pass rushers? Anybody who doesn't think a pass rusher is any good, just do us all a favor. Quit watching football.
Well, Ira, here's the problem, okay? The inherent problem with your argument. Last year, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm quite certain Shaq made $16 million. So if he made $16 million, what's he going to want now? $20 million? And if it's $20 million, so you're not going to pay him $4 million? I mean, cut the corner somewhere else. It doesn't that kind of make sense? Aren't we like not talking about a big raise here?
Steve, it does, but we got to put ourselves in the mind of Barrett and his agent, and we're not sure exactly what they're thinking.
I mean, I know what Rosenhaus is thinking.
Yeah, Lee, you've been around that guy a long time.
I know exactly what he's thinking. Money. I'll tell you what I heard here. Ian Rappaport sounds gloomy, but Rappaport was thinking it's not gloomy. He said everybody at one Buck place is hoping that Barrett comes back. They're hoping he listens to his emotions. Well, that's damn dangerous. You know, I've been trying to brainwash myself and go against all logic and all reason and all football knowledge, all everything, and be a complete dumbass and trying to think of the positives about not tagging Shaq. It's very difficult to do. And I heard Pat Kerwin, you know, our friend on NFL Radio, SiriusXM NFL Radio, he was talking about
Aaron Jones.
And the Packers fans are all bent out of shape, and you have a former Packer suit, Andrew Brandt, who's, I don't understand this either. And we all know Kerwin was the former pro player personnel director of the Jets. He, again, this was about Aaron Jones. He said possibly the Packers didn't tag him because if you're trying to negotiate a long-term contract, and once you tag the guy, that agent is not going to accept a nickel less than what the tag was. They're not going to accept a nickel less. Like, wait a minute, you just tagged him. Why am I negotiating a long-term contract for less money than you tagged him at X amount?
You know,
so he was wondering in the Packers' case if that's what they were trying to do. I don't know if that's applicable with Shaq. Maybe it is because we know the second year, the second franchise tag is higher.
By regulation, it is considerably higher. Steve, I assume they're knee-deep in negotiations. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. But, Steve, the three of us have to acknowledge, whether we want to or not, the grim reality, Steve, is that Barrett has the leverage, I believe, because he's pretty damn sure that if he's not the top free agent available, he could be number two. I think he's number one. Number one in the whole freaking league. Somebody is going to give him a lot of money. And Lee knows that because he's a pass rusher. And I think if he hits the open market, Steve, I think it's unlikely that he comes back to Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I know we talked about this last podcast. You wrote that in your column, Ira. And I'm just not too doom and gloom. I mean, why wouldn't Shaq wait to the last possible minute to sign a deal? Maybe the Bucks panic and throw him two more extra million. What's the hurry? I mean, the Bucks aren't going to tell him, here's our offer and take it by Friday or you're out. They're not going to do that. They're going to have their backup plan in place, working behind the scenes. So I'm just not worried. And I want to call your attention to a guy who should not have been re-signed at a long-term deal, but was, and that was Doug Martin back in 2016. And Martin proceeded to sign his deal about an hour before free agency opened. And it was a last minute thing. We were screaming for him to be franchise tagged that year. He wasn't. And they worked out a deal at the last second. So that's often how it goes. I just don't know why Shaq would run to the dotted line other than the fact that I don't understand why any of these guys, because I'm just a layman like you, Ira. I don't know why any of these guys, when they have tens of millions of guaranteed money, don't sign on the dotted line in case they get run over by a bus the next day. But that's another story. Chris Godwin is a perfect example. They offered him the tag. Sign the damn thing, Chris. JPP made that mistake years ago. He didn't sign it. He was mad, and then he blew his hand off.
I don't remember this one, but if anybody does, it's you, Lee.
Oh.
Lee, Arians has said, maybe multiple occasions, Godwin's not going anywhere on Levante David. His ass isn't going anywhere. Did he say that about Barrett?
I was thinking the same thing. I don't recall.
Steve?
I don't believe Shaq was in the vicinity when Arians was talking after having some cocktails, after getting off the boat there. So I don't really put any stock in that. It was fun for the internet, but I do put a lot of stock in the tremendous offers at Bill Curry Ford. We talk about it, but you got to get to BillCurryFord.com and start shopping. If you're looking for a vehicle, this is the time. Wow. People are excited. They're ready to buy again. They've got more money. This is the time to get out of whatever you're in now and get into something better. Get into some great financing. No payments for 90 days on new Ford vehicles. Bill Curry Ford. Ask for Sean Sullivan, the GM. He will take care of you personally with a very special personal touch. BillCurryFord.com. So, Sage, let's jump right into some of this exciting news. As expected, although maybe the number is a little surprising, Tom Brady just signed an extension, restructure of his deal. So in simple terms, Ira, Brady tore up his current contract. The Bucs signed him to a new five-year contract that starts in 2021, goes to 2022 with some guaranteed money, and then there's a few more years that they can lop off later, but the bottom line is $19 million against the cap is saved, and that means Brady's cap value this year is somewhere around $9 million. The Buccaneers have pushed a lot of dead money forward, something they never like to do, but hey, it's about keeping this team together. And what do you think about that, Ira?
Well, Steve, it's obviously fantastic news for Buck Nation. It gives Jason Light and Mike Greenberg quite a bit more flexibility to bring back the band that Brady's so intent on returning. Steve, it's not surprising. I mean, that's who Brady is. He did it all the time in Foxborough. kind of and help sustain the Patriots dynasty in the process. And here he is, and he'd like to do a little mini dynasty here in Tampa. And who's against that? You know, this is what these guys do. There aren't many of them. Mahomes is built the same way. Sacrifice, personal sacrifice, selflessness. They want rings. That's what it's all about for Brady, Mahomes. And I'll tell you what, the drive of Tom Brady is just unbelievable. The competitive nature, you put him right there with the Michael Jordans of the world. The Tiger Woods. I mean, there's competitors everywhere, obviously.
Roy Cummings.
But this guy, the guy's at an, Steve, the guy's at another level in terms of, you know, the singular focus on winning. You know, it's a fantastic day for Buck fans.
Well, as you mentioned, Ira, Mahomes did the same thing later in the day on Friday. He did a restructure, basically pushing a bunch of a roster bonus to a signing bonus, and poof, and now they're Chiefs get to save $17 million against the cap. So this is what happens. And like you said, you know, Brady set the tone with this many, many years ago in Foxborough. And we all know he could be making a lot more money if he squeezed the bucks for it. But he doesn't want to do that. And this should soothe Lee a little bit. As we hit the weekend, there's a little more money for the Bucks to get Shaq done here. But again, it's not done yet.
You know, I'm not sure they're finished restructuring contracts. Steve, you know what goes on in the executive suites at One Buck. They're very good in terms of the numbers. They know how to maximize their flexibility under the cap. But it doesn't guarantee that the Shaqster will be back in Tampa, you know, hounding opposing quarterbacks. It doesn't guarantee it, but they're in a lot better shape. You know, there's still some work to be done because it's up to Barrett and his agent. Whether they'll work with the Bucks, just like Tom Brady. See, he sets the tone. Kind of the feeling is, hey, if this guy's doing it, you know, who the heck am I? I got to follow suit. We'll see if that's the way it is for Shaq Barrett, for Sue. You know, I hope Sue doesn't think he's going to be have 12 teams throw him a lot of money. See, that's not going to happen for guys his age, interior defensive linemen. But Shaq Barrett's another story. You know, hats off to Brady. I call them the perfect Buccaneer, Steve. I'm sticking with that. And maybe more off the field than on the field. And we know what he does on the field.
And that, of course, is the theme of your column, your Friday column at JoeBucksFan.com. Everybody can check that out. Also, Ira, Kevin Minter brought back today officially. Good quality depth. You know, he loves his team. He's been here a few years now.
He made a few plays last year. He made a few plays. And, yeah, he's a quality backup who knows what Todd Bowles likes to do on defense. Now, is he Devin White? Is he Lavonnie David? Of course not.
No. But
yeah, it's nice to know he's in the fold.
Yeah, I mean, he stepped in two games for Devin White. You know, we weren't screaming about, oh my gosh, this Minter character. Fantastic job. Played very well in one of the games. Not so great in one or the other, but excellent job as a backup. And Lavonnie David met the media today. Ira didn't really say too much. Not a big surprise from Lavonnie David. Just, you know, all love, all filled with love. He was looking around. He was looking for another job. Didn't really like what he was seeing. Didn't really like the feel of it. And here he's back. So crazy. If the Bucks can pull this off, the complete sweep, I mean, you got to make Jason Light the lead dog here for executive of the year, assuming his draft comes through as it did last year.
You know, at this point, you know, here we are in March. And you got to think that this quest for a repeat, who would have ever been thinking about this? You know, a year ago, you know, they're trying to break a 12-year playoff drought. Now it's like, you know, we got to repeat. And the quest, it's off to a rip-roaring start. A few more dominoes have to fall. But you know what? There's no reason not to have confidence. The guys that are guiding this team, they're doing a heck of a job. And if they keep it up, this team's got a heck of a chance to repeat.
Sage Florida's Elite Restoration is everyone's first phone call if there's any sort of disaster in your home, like mold, fire, flood, whatever it might be. Florida's Elite Restoration, that's the first phone call because they're going to give you a free assessment of what's going on. And at that time in your life, you need someone you can trust to give you an honest look, experts who know what they're doing and can work with your insurance company to make sure you don't get ripped off. and do a lot of work and connect with their partners to get your home back to where it's supposed to be. And again, not get ripped off. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Put that in your favorites. If you have a problem, that's where you go immediately. They're going to respond 24/7. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Great local company. Not too big, not too small. They cover the whole Tampa Bay area. They've got state-of-the-art technology, the thermal imaging cameras. Our good friends there, Josh and his crew at Florida's Elite Restoration. That's the first call if you have a problem. Free assessment, honest assessment. That's what you need. Ira, I'm going to throw a curveball here. I'm going to go to the people, because right before this podcast, I threw it out on Twitter and I said, hey, who's got some questions for Ira to be considered for the podcast? So I've got a few questions to throw at you from the people, Ira, because I know you're a man of the people. Unlike your old school media brethren and Roy Cummings, you are a man of the people. You love the people.
And Steve, I will press the flesh at our draft party. I will press the flesh.
You will be. I don't even know if you can say that in 2021, Ira, but you'll be.
Yeah, it's getting crazy, isn't it?
I'm not Andrew Cuomo. You know, let's get that out there. I'm not, gentlemen, I'm not Woody Allen, so here we go.
All right,
well, here, Sage. I'll clean it up for you, Ira. You're not Pepe Le Pew. And by the way, I don't give a damn about Pepe Le Pew. I always thought he weirded me out when I was a little kid watching Looney Tunes. He was my least favorite Looney Tunes character. I hated Pepe Le Pew. So if they want to cancel him out, knock yourself out.
Knock yourself out.
More Foghorn Leghorn.
Steve, who's this question from, Steven?
All right, well, of course, just to clarify, Ira, you were talking about our opening night of the draft party, the extravaganza at Big Storm Brewing Company in Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Almerton Road. Follow them on Facebook, get to bigstormbrewery.com. They've got tap rooms now in Odessa, Orlando at Amway Center and Cape Coral, and of course, the flagship location in Clearwater, Florida's best craft beer by far is Big Storm Beer. All right, Ira, I'm combining two questions here because they're both about quarterback. One comes from at Nolman underscore IU fan, and the other one is from at Dirk Disco. They ask, first, should the Bucs draft a quarterback to learn from Brady? And the other combined question is, Sage, what year will the Bucs finally sign a drafted quarterback to a second contract? At Nolman IU fan says, this fact is up there with the infamous punt return, kick return that some guy named Beeman would bring up every Sunday in the late 80s and early 90s.
Steve, I'm going to answer the first question first. And I don't think they'll draft the quarterback, and I'm not sure they should, unless it's a fifth or sixth round guy at it. They're taking a crazy chance that Arians looked at some film and says, that this guy, you know, in 3 years he might be ready. Guys, this very unique situation the Bucs are in. They're all tied in with Brady. Normally, guys 43, you draft his heir apparent. It's not going to happen. And Brady's not going to be any kind of great mentor. And he wouldn't be the first great quarterback that fails in that department. Joe Montana had a very testy relationship with Steve Young. He wasn't any mentor to a young Steve Young in 1987. Forget that. And Brady's not going to do that. At some point, they'll draft a quarterback when Brady suffers a career-ending injury or his play drops off and he's thinking about retiring. And they'll draft a quarterback. But I think, Lee, to draft one in the first three rounds, knowing that the guy is not going to play, and if he does, your season basically is kaput. I don't think they use a premium pick on a quarterback when they can get somebody that's going to contribute for the 2021 Bucs. It's a very unusual situation, the dynamic. It's unlike almost any other team, but they're not going to draft a quarterback with a premium pick, Lee.
And they're not going to draft a quarterback, period. I mean, Arians, you know, we've spoken about this many times. Arians, more than a few times, has basically said that's not going to happen. I think, and Steve thinks this as well, Steve's written about it more than I have, that's just a massive opportunity they're passing up. With the quarterback coaches they have and the mindset Brady has instilled, it's just an unbelievable learning experience that they're blowing. You know, they freaking won a Super Bowl. So I can't get worked up about this. even though it makes so much sense logically. I would love to see personally the Bucks draft Mac Jones. And the stories I'm hearing about Brady in the locker room and Brady in meeting rooms, not quarterback meeting rooms, offensive line meeting rooms, the attention to detail and everything, there's no way anybody can't tell me that that won't help a young quarterback. I mean, it's just an unbelievable situation, but this freaking operation just got a Super Bowl. And I didn't think that was possible. I can't quibble. I can't kvetch about this. I really can't.
Ira, I think it's a little unfair to say that about Brady. How dare you say that about Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback in history? I think he was a fine mentor for Jimmy Garoppolo. He just didn't want Garoppolo re-signed. I think he wanted to make it clear that I'm not going anywhere. So I mentored him. I helped him. Well, we got along great and get him out of here. So I think the Garoppolo example, especially with him being a pick, very end of the second round. So Sage, I can't go there. And also, I got to say this, Ira. Anthony Becht was very clear on radio this week saying he thinks the Bucks will trade down. But if Mac Jones from Alabama, the quarterback, is somehow slips and is sitting there at 32, the Bucks would be insane not to grab him. It's too good of an opportunity. And I also have to throw out there, what about Team Glazer? What about if the Glazers go up to Arians and say, Bruce, you won the Super Bowl. We know you're not long for Tampa. Tom knows he's only got a couple years left. We want to draft a quarterback. Can you help us out here? We're going to be here for the next 20 years, 30 years, 50 years while you're playing golf.
I can definitely see that conversation with the Glazers. Hold on, Lee. Hold on. Let me finish.
What?
If the Bucks had just finished 8-8 and Brady didn't have a very good season. Now the Glazers weigh in with Jason Light. Lee, I'll take it this far, and we'll see if I'm right. The next time the Bucks use a premium pick for a quarterback will be with a different head coach.
I agree.
A different head coach.
I agree. Because Arians is so adamant that he doesn't want a young quarterback. He claims, I don't want to screw the guy up changing offense. Well, okay, I understand what you're saying there, but the intangibles this guy would learn just watching how Brady goes about his work, his day, his practices, his meetings, and what he could learn from these coaches, Arians, Tom Moore, Christensen. I think it's a fantastic opportunity, basically, but these guys won a Super Bowl. So, I mean, that's way down the totem pole. They're even getting a little bit of slack for me because of the Shaq Barrett situation. If they didn't have a Super Bowl, I'd be going wild about Shaq Barrett. I'm trying to contain myself.
You would think that Brady and Arians walk off into the sunset together. You would think, Steve. Mm-hmm. You would think.
I don't know, Ira. I don't know. I think there's a lot of working parts here. Bowles and Leftwich could only have one more season in Tampa. I don't think Arians is going to stay around for that when he's got to go out and get a new coordinator on defense, and then he's got to dive in, who knows? I don't know. I think there's a lot of working parts here, and Brady might want to go 3 more years. So we don't even know. But the fun is ahead of us here with free agency Sage. Any interest, Ira? Jaden Mickens arrested on a gun charge in Los Angeles.
You must have some foresight. You must have some incredible foresight because you're the guy that brought up Cordarrelle Patterson the other day out of nowhere. Absolutely out of nowhere. You laid it on Lee and I, and Lee made a good point. Mickens played pretty well down the stretch. He did. And we're not used to that with the Buck return game, which has been absolutely negligible, to be kind. And now, he's in a little bit of trouble. So I didn't think Patterson was a crazy idea before I knew about Mickens. If he's affordable, I think they could find a way to integrate him in the offense, maybe some end arounds, especially if Antonio Brown doesn't come back, Lee.
There you go with the Antonio Brown. I didn't think of that. With Mickens, I was thinking no on Patterson and yes on Mickens, more so not for production. Although, again, Mickens, and I brought that up, Mickens had a nice January. It's economic. It's going to be some serious hopscotch if they are able to keep Shaq and then bring some other guys back. So I was thinking more along the lines of economics, not so much production. And this Mickens thing, from what I can gather, in the majority of the country, he wouldn't be in a whiff of trouble. If it happened in Bradenton, he'd be okay. So I'm not going to crucify the guy whatsoever.
Steve, I've been thinking about Leonard Fournette a little bit while Lee is thinking about Kay Adams. I've been thinking about Leonard Fournette.
Not going to brag about
Steve, I really don't think there's much of a scenario for Fournette to come back. Steve, I don't see it. I know he had a good January. I know that. But to me, Ronald Jones is the number one back on this team based on merit. Ronald Jones, yeah, he got hurt. But until he got hurt, he was very, very effective. And I think Lee's right. I think they'll add somebody in free agency to compliment Jones, and you got Vaughn. And, Steve, I got to think somebody's going to throw some money at Fournette, and I don't think the Bucs will throw much money at Fournette.
Sage, let me go back to the fan questions. This one comes from Dynamite Sports Podcast. Should the Bucs take a look at either Najee Harris or Travis Etienne if they fall to number 32? Arguably, these guys are the top running backs in the draft. We've seen running backs fall in the first round previously. They're not valued like they used to be. Could the Bucs do the Edwards-Hilaire move and go get a major electric running back with Ronald Jones entering a contract year? And maybe if they're looking down the line, maybe they don't want to pay him top dollar.
I would be surprised, and I go back to something that Lee has alluded to many, many times. I think it's important. Lee, here's the quote. I don't believe in overvaluing a running back or overpaying for a running back or overdrafting a running back. I'm not sure of the exact quote, Lee, but you got it. That's the head coach of the Tampa Bay Bucks. I think we're forgetting about Ronald Jones here, guys. I mean, I really do. Lee, he won you over last year. You and I were both appalled, and that's a strong word, appalled at his rookie production. He got better in year two, and he got a lot better in year three. So why should we believe, and he didn't have a serious injury that's going to linger. Why should we believe Ronald Jones can't get the job done?
That's very true. I don't disagree with that, but the Bucs have no weaknesses.
Say it again. Say it again.
I've been a big Travis Etienne fan. Ronald Jones is going to be going into his, you know, the option. If you draft, let's say, Etienne, which I would love if he dropped, I don't think it's absurd to expect that. You know, running backs do drop. Look at Kansas City last year. If Etienne drops with Ronald Jones going into his option year, I'd be all over Etienne. I'd draft him in a heartbeat.
What if they lost Barrett? Would you get a pass rusher? I mean,
well, you can't expect, but rookie pass rushers rarely have any kind of impact. If they lose Barrett, well, then you got to, I would hope they would go out and try to get Dupree and then pray to God that his knee's going to be okay by the time September rolls around.
Right. Or a Leonard Floyd or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, Floyd, by the way, one of the reasons why I'm so huge on Shaq Barrett, he gets at the quarterback constantly. He's one of the NFL leaders. He either hits the guy or he moves him. He's always in there. And this is backed up by advanced stats. He's one of the best in the NFL. Leonard Floyd, I want to say, was like 42nd in pressuring the quarterback, where Shaq was tied for fifth. He's like, come on, man.
Steve, I want to weigh in on what Lee's saying, because I think it's very, very important. And I don't think people have taken it to the next level. If the pass rush drops because Barrett isn't there and they replace him with somebody who's not as good as Barrett, and all of a sudden Devin White's got to blitz more and whatever, and Barrett's gone. Steve, you got to think about this. If the pass rush diminishes, all of a sudden, don't think for 1 second that this secondary is full of ball hawks. It is not. Whitehead is not a ball hawk. We don't know about bunting. We don't know about some of these guys, especially if the QB is standing there with time to survey the field. Steve, this is not a stellar secondary. But when you combine it with a hell of a pass rush, they get the job done. And if the pass rush falls, Steve, this secondary will be exposed. And end of my diatribe.
I will be fair and not be hysterical here. I will be fair. Some of the people who are arguing, don't pay Shaq, he's replaceable. They think Todd Bowles is a miracle worker with developing pass rushers. If you believe that, and if he is, okay then. I sort of get what you're saying, but that's still a hell of a gamble I wouldn't take if I was running a team that's, you know, their goal is to win the Super Bowl, not just to win the division, win the Super Bowl. But if you believe that, I see the logic.
Sage, going back to the people, I threw up a poll at joebucksfan.com. Sat there for about 13 hours. And
saw that. You got quite a few responses, Steve, quite a few.
Yeah, about 1,800 fans weighed in. And 54% say yes, pay Shaq Barrett top dollar. But the remaining 46%, they're either no or they're not sure. Or my favorite is 1.75% said they don't know who Shaq Barrett is, which is fantastic. But in all seriousness, Ira, the fans are split. And, you know, he's still just one player. I'm not against Shaq. And ultimately, the Bucs won the Super Bowl because they were able to generate a four-man pass rush, not because of blitzes and all this other stuff. And the goal is to win the Super Bowl. That's the new bar. So you take a clear Super Bowl piece, a pass rusher like Shaq, and it's a massive gamble. That's why I don't understand, Ira. I got to come back to this. You got to explain to me why they wouldn't pay him. Like, wouldn't you rather pay him than pay Ndamukong Suh?
Well, Steve,
wouldn't you rather pay him than Rob Gronkowski?
Steve, his demands might be a little bit on the outrageous side.
How much? How much outrageous? How much extra money per year are we talking?
4 years, $100 million.
No, that's pricey.
Well, that would be very pricey.
You know, 70 guaranteed. You know, who knows what Rosenhaus is thinking, Steve, but he's got a damn good assessment of where his client is in the marketplace. You know, this guy's been around a long, long time, and he lives in a mansion for a reason, Rosenhaus. He's in his prime, Lee. These other guys, they're 32. And look, I'm not the guy that wants to spend the Glazers' money for them. You know, it's easy for us, but if you don't have Barrett, and God forbid something happens to JPP for 7 weeks, you're in a lot of trouble, Lee.
This is what I mentioned in one commenter, and after I did this, I pretty much haven't commented on Shaq Barrett in the last couple of days. This guy was making an argument, you know, it's $1 or $2 million, you shouldn't pay him that. Are you kidding me? I said, do you realize how much cash the Glazers are going to rake in? The Bucks win another Super Bowl? $1 or $2 million, that's a drop in the bucket. What are you talking about?
Steve, I hope they're not consumed with Fournette and Sue. Yeah, in a perfect world, you want to bring them all back. But, you know, one guy is the priority. And it ain't Ryan Suckup, who I believe will be back.
Cairo, who Steve wrote about, just signed a nice little contract with the Bears, basically $3 million a year. I'm ballparking it, but it's basically $3 million a year.
You know, Steve, after everything Jason Light has gone through with the kicker, I think that's a factor. I think that's a factor in how he will approach Ryan Suckup, besides the fact he is automatic inside the 40. He is. And 90% of his field goals converted. I believe he was 9 for 9, Steve, in the playoffs.
He was fantastic, and that Cairo Santos deal probably sets the market in a lot of ways because Santos mm-hmm. was a veteran and he had a better year last year. He was statistically anyway, than Suckup, kicking in tougher conditions. And so there it is, $3 million a year. Kickers have made four and north of four in the past. So who knows what they can pull off with Suckup. It'll be interesting to see if they give him a 3-year deal. You know, spread some more money around, maybe give him 3 years, $10 million. But the Shaq thing's going to be fun, guys, because it's a
fun.
It's fun because if they don't sign him, then
ain't fun to me. It's nauseating. That's violence inducing.
It is. It is. But it becomes something to monitor because ultimately it's okay. The new guy better step up. If you get two guys to replace Shaq, you better have something good. If you get a rookie in here, then, he's got to be the rare rookie that's been able to contribute, which we've had a couple of those in the last couple of years. So I don't know. To me, it would be, you know, it's intriguing from looking at the Bucks' perspective, but we don't want it to happen.
Getting a skin cancer cyst burned off.
Could we be overreaching on the Shaq Barrett thing? Are we making him out to be something he's not, Steve?
No. He's the best pass rusher in his prime on a Super Bowl team, and that's it. End of story. They need him back. He's a critical cog. Everybody on the team knows it. Hey, JPP, when he did his interview on New York radio a few weeks ago, said, just bring Shaq back. We'll be all right. That was his take on free agency.
And he didn't mention Sue. He didn't mention Sue. He mentioned Barrett. Yep.
I'm absolutely convinced the Bucks don't beat the Packers without Shaq.
That's a great point, Lee. And we'd be talking about Brady's three picks all off season.
You know, if they don't get Shaq, Ira, and let's say they don't, and they sort of acknowledge, you know what? Okay, maybe we won't be as good defensively. Maybe the money that you would have tied up in Shaq, maybe you make some changes and get some more firepower, and you know, look to adjust how you approach the season with scoring. Or maybe you go out and recognize, okay, my secondary isn't what it's supposed to be. And you know what? We're going to make a bold move. We're going to sign one of these free agent cornerbacks, one of these more established guys, and on a 1-year deal, and tighten things up back there. Who knows, Ira?
I mean, it's possible, Steve. It's possible. Gilmore could be available, you know, for a third or fourth round pick. And, you know, the guy was defensive player of the year, I believe, in 2019, not that long ago. Look, I know the Bucks like all their young corners and Jamel Dean and Bunting, but Lee, you know I'm right about this. Those guys can get the job done when a quarterback is having a throw before he's ready. If he's not, I'm not that confident they can get the job done.
There are some people who say, hey, you know, the Bucks offense could be even better next year, and that would compensate for the loss of Shaq, more points. Okay, on face value, that makes sense. But we only have to turn on our DVRs, Ira, and watch the Bucks playoff games to know what defense does. Defense can shut down even the most potent of offenses. And the proof is just a couple months away. What the Bucks did to the Packers, what the Bucks did to the Chiefs. High-powered offense, though it's pretty, and it's fun as heck to watch, and racks up the points. All it takes is one decent defense to shut that down.
Steve, I know you're talking about bumping up from 30 to 33 points, but, you know, I'm not sure I see it, Steve. I don't see a lot of new starters. I think Ronald Jones is still the first back, and Godwin and Evans, you know, they were banged up a little, but that's what happens in the NFL. O.J. Howard's not going to make a big difference. The offensive line is intact. And, Steve, can you expect Brady to have a better year than he just did? I mean, is that realistic?
Yes, it's completely realistic, Ira. Absolutely. Absolutely. Why can't he play better? Why not? The schedule looks easier. He's going to have more chemistry with his receivers. The running game, you're telling me Ronald Jones is going to bring it. And you know what? If you don't sign Shaq, maybe you pay Leonard Fournette and you draft a running back and you get absolutely electric on offense like we've never seen in the universe. So I think so. I think Brady can play better. I really do.
Steve, there's a flip side to that. And I don't want to be ominous because I started the podcast saying, I'm jubilant. I'm upbeat. And now here I am, 35 minutes later, and I sound like Bela Lugosi over here. I've said it before, and you know I'm right about this. And Buck fans, they never want to think about it, never want to acknowledge it. They've had incredible unity up front. I mean, they have. Yeah. Absolutely incredible. I know Alex Kappa missed some games. I understand that. But, guys, you see what happens with other teams. I mean, you know, look at Kansas City at the end of the year. You know, things happen. The Chiefs had two guys, I think, opt out for COVID. Then they lost the two tackles, and we saw what happened in the Super Bowl. So, Steve, it's not like the Bucs have great depth on the offensive line. I mean, we still don't know about Joe Haig. I mean, let's be honest. Things can happen on the other side just as easily.
Well, Ira, you know, we don't know who they're going to re-sign, but I'll have to counter you and say they do have great depth on the offensive line because they proved it. I mean, look what Stinney accomplished in four playoff games. Great depth. He proved it. Josh Wells came in, started for Donovan Smith down the stretch, you know, played well and always seemed to play well. So I'm going to, and when they played, what's his name? The center who got hurt, AQ Shipley. Now he was good too. So I'm going to have to, you know, defer to King Light who put this group together and say that they're not going to have much of a problem. I saw something funny on Twitter, Ira, you know, the Chiefs cut their tackles that,
right.
And some guy, I forgot his name on Twitter, put out there, hey, it looks like the Chiefs are going to have to sign Gazdar Chehalis and Tamar Dotson for next year.
You know, I talked to Dot last week. He wants to play. He says he didn't give up a sack this year, Lee. He started 8 games. He says, I said, hey, I'm looking at the stats. It says you gave up 1 sack. He goes, absolutely not. 0, baby. 0. To me, Dot's a backup and a decent one. But Lee, to Steve's point, I think you'd agree with me. Those guys played in spot duty, not long range, you know, where a guy had to fill in for 10 games and gets exposed. So the jury's out, Lee. The jury's out.
Yeah, and the, you know, the pass rush, it's just that, I mean, look, hopefully by the time we're talking next time, we have Shaq back and it's a non-issue. But I know a lot of Bucks fans, you know, they're thinking, well, gosh, if Vita Vea hangs in there for a whole season, he's going to bring more pass rush up the gut. And if they can't bring in Shaq, then they can bring in Sue, who had 6 sacks last year. And maybe they get some more help up the middle and they sort of change the way the pass rush looks. I don't know. But, you know, well, hopefully they bring back Shaq because it's going to be weird seeing him play for the Jets.
And I agree with Steve. If the money's anywhere near in the ballpark to what the Bucks value him, you go ahead and bring him back. And if it's crazy money, you got to do what you got to do. You got to let him walk.
Ira,
I'd rather not think about it, but okay.
Ira, one thing that you missed today, which was, you know, unfortunate, but you were busy with your things that you do around town, around Newport Richey. Of course, you could have head over to Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater. And today's special, blackened shrimp Alfredo, Ira. Blackened shrimp Alfredo.
Oh, you're killing me. You're killing me.
Of course, wash that down with a beautiful bromosa, enjoying the sun or sitting outside in their covered patio, 3,000 square feet, where the draft party's going to be. You blew it, Ira. You blew it.
Steve, is that going to now be a staple, or was it a one-time thing?
One-time thing. But, of course, the staple that we have here on the podcast is our great friends at Bill Curry Ford, proud presenters of the podcast. Get shopping at BillCurryFord.com. And as we heard earlier, Florida's Elite Restoration, that's the first phone call. Anything goes wrong in your house as far as a disaster, a flood, a fire, you find mold, they're mold remediation specialists, Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Sage, Bucks fans, and Lee is the poster child, pins and needles all weekend if we don't get a Shaq Barrett deal. Now, here's the thing, Ira, there's some debate, you know, a lot of fans, because they hear the media say March 17th, 4 o'clock, that's the free agency deadline. But the reality is on Monday, it's that close, we're going to hear about 37, 40 free agents. You know, LaConfora and Schefter are going to be announcing on Monday when that tampering window opens who's signing where and have agreed in principle to go here. So it's going to start flying fast and furious. Do you have any predictions for Monday, Ira?
I think Shaq Barrett's going to be a Buckley. There might be a Buccaneer cut that you don't anticipate, bringing up some money. I think Barrett's going to stay with the Bucks, Lee.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens. I know this is the time of year where LaConfora and Brickley beat Briscoe and Schefter. This is where they make their money. It's funny to think about. And how many people, and it's happened to me, I'll raise my hand, how many people will get conned by these assholes with these fake Twitter accounts?
This is a tall order, Steve, because you're dealing with what I believe is the number one potential free agent on the market. I mean, the number one. With all due respect to Kenny Golladay, you can get a receiver. This is Shaq Barrett, gentlemen. 27.5 sacks, 2 years. big January when it counted. Patrick Mahomes is thinking about him in his sleep. It's a tall order, Steve, to keep this guy and satisfy him and try to prevent him from testing himself on the marketplace. It's not an easy job that Light's got ahead of him.
Yeah, it's a stressful chess game, and you know, all this sort of little hints of gloom and doom about not signing Shaq that have popped up on NFL Network, NFL Radio, all that could just be Rosenhaus putting it out there that it's not looking good. Looks like we're moving on to, you know, tweak the Bucks a little bit to make sure Ed Glazer's watching TV and, you know, his hands are shaking. He's texting Jason Light left and right saying, what are we doing? What are we quibbling over $2 million here? What's going on? Get rid of somebody.
Yeah. And Lee, I can tell you firsthand that the Glazers are not naive about the value of stellar pass rushers. They understand it. They understand how the game of football is played in the modern era with everything geared towards offenses. And the quarterbacks are too good, Lee. The receivers are too good. You got to shake them up. And Shaq's good at it.
I could just hear Rosenhaus talking to Light. Jason, you just know you don't win that Super Bowl without Shaq. You know that. You're an offensive lineman. You get it.
Ira, let me throw this past you, and we'll get out of here on this. The podcast is available at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Podcasts, elsewhere, of course, right at JoeBucksFan.com. Let me throw this past you, Ira. Chef Alex over at Big Storm Clearwater, one of the other specials you missed this week, Ira, they're testing it out. It might become a permanent thing, but the potato skins were rolled out with melted cheese, house-smoked bacon, chives, pickled jalapenos with a sour cream and ranch dipping sauce. What do you think of that?
You're talking to a guy who just started a diet, Isbits. What the hell are you trying to do to me? I'm up a pound and a half. You want me to be up 4. You know what? I'm coming to that draft party early. I'm going to go through that menu, Lee, like nobody's business. And
I will say this. The weather we're having this week, if that doesn't make you want to go to Big Storm and sit on a patio and just throw beers down, I don't know what will.
With a nice wave maker amber over there, Steve.
One last football thing, Ira, to keep the folks always guessing here. One thing that Trent Dilfer spoke about, he said that what the Buccaneers did by really crafting a plan, sticking with it, and then tweaking it at the bye week to really recommit to the running game and to say, you know, we got all these weapons, but let's be a little boring. And then he said they were masters, all-time masters at going back to a boring running game and then shifting immediately off that boring running game to a sizzling passing game. And then he hadn't really seen anything like that. And I think that spoke to the fact that the Bucs really aren't very inventive with their runs. You're not going to call them the Kyle Shanahan of the running game in Tampa. But they did really do that, and they stuck with it. And Ali Marpet also spoke this week and admitted that guys were pounding the table at $1 to get Leftwich to commit to the run more. And they were very pleased that it went that direction later in the season. And that Marpet even sympathized with Leftwich, saying, you know, early in the year, you got all those weapons and all these toys and Brady, and he gets how you're, you know, committed to using those guys. But he was very pleased that they sort of got a little more balanced late and then rode it all the way to the title.
You know, that's interesting, Steve, because I think one thing that Brady has proven over the years is he's not a guy, Lee, that's going to carp that I'm not throwing enough passes. And I refer you, Lee, to his final Super Bowl victory with New England. They beat the Chiefs in the AFC title game at Arrowhead. They beat the Rams. And I think they stuck to the ground for the most part. Now, Brady did finish with some big numbers against KC, because Mahomes led some kind of big second half rally, and Brady had to start throwing again. But Lee, the first half of that game, they almost ran the Chiefs out of Arrowhead. It was all the running game, running game, running game. Brady doesn't mind it. He doesn't mind it. He's not one of these insecure guys that he's not happy unless he's throwing 45 balls. So Lee, I think Brady had to be a big part of any changes they made during the bye week. And Lee, one more point. Remember before the season when the schedule came out? Oh, what are you kidding me? A bye week after week 12?
I like
that's
it.
What. Yeah, but a lot of people didn't like it, Lee, at the time. At the time. But what a story it ended up writing. And, of course, even though they didn't play great against Minnesota coming off that bye week, didn't play great, but just got better and better and never lost another game after that bye week. Never That's lost a game.
Franchise record, eight games. And here's one for you, Ira. And this is related to what you're talking about. Rob Gronkowski did an interview with TMZ this week. And maybe it's just me being overly sensitive. He's put out some videos recent past, last week or two. He's put out some videos on social media and on YouTube. And in all these videos, including his interview with TMZ, I'm back, I'm back, I'm back. Not once has he said Bucks. Not once has he said Tampa. And referring to winning the Super Bowl, he referenced the team as us and we. But he's never said Bucks about all the, I'm coming back, I'm coming back. Never mentioned Tampa. And with the Bucks being crunched for money, am I being overly sensitive?
Yes. Yes.
You think it's Bucks or it's a done deal? He's coming back to the Bucks?
Or retire. Or retire. Why would he play for another franchise, Lee? Why would he do that?
Well, unless someone's going to... I know what you're getting at, but money talks. And if it would be his last contract, someone's offering him ridiculous money for 2 years, it might get his attention.
Well, I don't think anybody's going to do that, Lee. And you're talking about leaving Brady. To me, that's far-fetched. I don't think Buck fans should fret about that. Now, Shaq Barrett, Stevie, that's a whole other matter.
To your point about, the Bucks, Brady doesn't care about him. He just wants to win. If it means run, if it means pass, whatever. Gronkowski was effusive in his praise for his Bucks teammates for being so unselfish down the stretch, into the playoffs, into the Super Bowl. He said, no one griped about touches. No one griped about targets. Everybody did their job, and it made the team as a whole so much better. And he was very, very praiseworthy of his teammates for just doing their job. His words, not mine. I have to think, all the stories I'm hearing, that the Brady mentality took over that building.
I mean, it does come back to number 12. And no matter what the expectations were for Tom Brady, and I thought it was crazy when Buck fans said Super Bowl or bust, anything else is no good, it's a failure. I thought that was crazy. But you know what? I think that'll be the mentality for this fall. And Steve, it's no longer crazy.
All right, Ira, we are out of here. I have to go call Carlton Davis and tell him he's not going to be able to handle his game if the Bucks don't have Shaq Barrett back, because Ira Kaufman says he's not up to it. I'll call all the grave diggers personally and tell them that Sage has spoken. Fellas, we'll be back next week, if not sooner, if something crazy happens, which you never know. Like if Shaq Barrett tweets out, thanks, Tampa, it's been real, we'll get together over the weekend.
You and I are, Mike.
I'm on my way to Culver's for a shake, gentlemen.
There you go.